Second Kings 3. Joram, son of Ahab, became king of Israel and Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he reigned 12 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, but not as his father and mother had done. He got rid of the sacred stone of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he clung to the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. He did not turn away from them. Now Mesha, king of Moab, raised sheep, and he had to supply the king of Israel with 100,000 lambs and with the wool of 100,000 rams. But after Ahab died, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So at that time, King Joram set out from Samaria and mobilized all Israel. He also sent this message to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah.
The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab?
I will go with you. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses.
By what route shall we attack?
Through the desert of Edom.
So the king of Israel set out with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. After a roundabout march of 7 days, the army had no more water for themselves or for the animals with them. The king of Israel exclaimed,
"What? Has the Lord called us 3 kings together only to hand us over to Moab?"
But Jehoshaphat asked,
"Is there no prophet of the Lord here, that we may inquire of the Lord through him?"
An officer of the king of Israel answered,
"Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He is to pour water on the hands of Elijah."
The word of the Lord is with him.
So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Elisha said to the king of Israel,
"What do we have to do with each other? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother."
"No, because it was the Lord who called us 3 kings together to hand us over to Moab."
"As surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, if I did not have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you or even notice you. But now, bring me a harpist."
While the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha, and he said,
"This is what the Lord says. Make this valley full of ditches, for this is what the Lord says. You will see neither wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water, and you, your cattle, and your other animals will drink. This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. He will also hand Moab over to you. You will overthrow every fortified city and every major town. You will cut down every good tree, stop up all the springs, and ruin every good field with stones."
The next morning, about the time for offering the sacrifice, there it was, water flowing from the direction of Edom. And the land was filled with water. Now all the Moabites had heard that the kings had come to fight against them. So every man, young and old, who could bear arms was called up and stationed on the border. When they got up early in the morning, the sun was shining on the water. To the Moabites across the way, the water looked red, like blood.
"That's blood. Those kings must have fought and slaughtered each other. Now to the plunder, Moab."
But when the Moabites came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and fought them until they fled. And the Israelites invaded the land and slaughtered the Moabites. They destroyed the towns, and each man threw a stone on every good field until it was covered. They stopped up all the springs and cut down every good tree. Only Kir Hareset was left with its stones in place, but men armed with slings surrounded it and attacked it as well. When the king of Moab saw that the battle had gone against him, he took with him 700 swordsmen to break through to the king of Edom, but they failed. Then he took his firstborn son, who was to succeed him as king, and offered him as a sacrifice on the city wall. The fury against Israel was great. They withdrew and returned to their own land.